Hello and welcome to the Listening at Warwick podcast, examining blended learning throughout the coronavirus pandemic. I am Charlie, a third year biological science student.
I'm Georgia, a postgraduate film studies student.
And I am Grace, a second year politics, philosophy and law student. And we're really excited to have you here. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to this episode of the Listening at Warwick podcast. I'm Charlie Humphrey and I'm joined by two wonderful guests to talk about mental well-being and work-life balance throughout the last year of online learning. I'd like my two guests to introduce themselves.
My name's Sheree. I just graduated and so I was a philosophy student.
My name's Alessandra. I also just graduated from PPE at the University of Warwick.
Obviously, throughout the last year, it's been all basically online learning. How would you both say that your work-life balance has changed over the last year? Like, how do you think for your final year of university, it was quite a big year, things have had to change? What did you have to do differently?
I don't mind going first. So I would say it was quite negative for my work-life balance. For the majority of the year, particularly from second term, my room became my primary workspace, and it became increasingly difficult to detach times where I'm actively working, reading, having screen time that's for work, and then my leisure time. And it became quite difficult to relax. I'd say I was almost constantly thinking about work, because even when I'm relaxing in my room on my laptop, I know not too long I'll have to be working in my room on my laptop. Particularly for me, the restricted working space made it difficult to demarcate which parts of my time were solely for work and which parts were for leisure.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think that with everything being pre-recorded, it's dependent on us to take responsibility of when we do certain things and when we watch lectures. And so it's good in a way because we're independent, but then it's also really bad because it means for example, we could just watch all of our lectures in one go and then, feel very overloaded, but then also feel productive. So because we've done everything, so it just can be quite confusing. And also in terms of work-life balance, it was tough because I was living in a house of with 30 other people. And so, for example, if one person got COVID, then in terms of self-isolation, you're actually in your room and having to wear a mask everywhere, whatever. So that was really tough. And then you're just, in a room all the time.
Yeah, no, that's really difficult. Was there a separate space that either of you could have gone to, or was it both just your bedroom?
So for me, I think that's another thing. I'm really grateful. I'm someone who has their own room. I have my own working space, but someone might not know that, living where I live, you wouldn't know that there are building works everywhere going on outside where I live, and it's worse basically outside my room. So everywhere I go in my house, you hear drilling, you just know the generic, construction sounds. And because I couldn't really go anywhere but my house, I just had to kind of endure that because libraries weren't open. There weren't really other workspaces. So for me, it pretty much was my house, and then my room was just the best part for me.
Do you two live local to campus? Do you feel like you could have gone onto campus and used those spaces, or was it impossible for you, or did you feel like you couldn't?
In the first term, that was, as I said, where we had the largest amount of, in-person contact. But for me, because I live slightly further from campus, I live closer to Coventry, I'm thinking about the value of taking the trip in and then coming back, because if I have only one thing, 1 hour worth per day, maybe once or twice a week, I would think to myself, is this really worth coming in for the whole day? For maybe 1 hour of teaching and staying on campus when I know that there's food at home. And it's more convenient to be at home. Whereas in previous years, because you'd have maybe 1, 2, 3 hours of things a day, it would be more economical to just spend the entire day on campus. Mm. So that was something that I was always thinking about. But from the second term, I moved back home because I had no in-person teaching and I was able to get out of my rent contract. So I just felt like it would be better to just stay at home economically and just generally it would be more comfortable.
I think another thing is that normally your friends would be on campus and you'd plan to meet up or something. But then if I would go on campus, I'd just find that there weren't very many people, or I didn't know anyone, and people just weren't kind of willing to go out and stuff. So it was like, well, I'd go to campus on my own and do everything on my own.
Yeah, naturally. So you both have philosophy as like your degree or part of your degree. I'm guessing you were both in contact with like the same sort of module conveners. How do you think like they were in support for online learning? Do you think they were like effective? Do you think they were good? Or do you think like when it became more just online only or less blend, how do you think they were different in their teaching from like last year to this year?
Personally, I think the teaching was all right, like, but I think creativity wise, they just, in terms of the modules I took anyway, it was approached in the same way our in-person teaching has been previously, but it didn't always translate well in terms of getting people talking, especially for philosophy. Philosophy is one of those subjects where the discussions in the seminars are the bedrock of the deeper elements of the subject, and it was quite difficult to get people talking over Teams at 9:10 in the morning. It was often so silent, so low energy, and as confident as I am, you don't want to be the one who's just the only person responding to the prompt. So at times you kind of respond to the mood of your seminar, I should say. And I did find myself falling silent, even though I am an outgoing, confident student.
I think I wouldn't say that I'm an outgoing and confident student. And so even like speaking up in person in a seminar can be a bit challenging for me. And then being in the online environment probably made it worse because it feels a lot more awkward. And then even in terms of just like pressing your button to put your hand up or something, like, I don't know, it's just so small, but it feels very mechanical. And that's something that I wasn't very keen on. I think it's really difficult for the lecturers. Obviously, they've never really done anything like this before. I think going forwards, maybe to just humanize everything. And I remember in one of my seminars, I think in like the first week of seminars, all the lecturers made a point to ask how everyone was and tried to engage and stuff. But then as the weeks went on, it just kind of went straight into material. And I think one thing that a seminar leader did amazingly well in philosophy was he would take the time out of every single week to ask how we all were and saying that we were doing really well, and that despite everything we were still trying. So that was just really, really, I'm really grateful for that.
I guess, was it hard to participate? Was it hard to like get the information that you wanted from them? Like how did it impact your learning?
I would definitely say it differed from module to module. I'd also like to shout out a really positive experience I had. This was a liberal arts module, actually, I was able to take because PP lets you do some optionals that are outside your three subjects. And we didn't have any lectures or seminars. We just had 1 2-hour session every week. And it would be split between, so we'd go into breakout rooms, then come back to the class and discuss, then go back into breakout rooms. We'd write blog posts each week, which were graded. So basically, you had to keep up with the material to like complete the module. And it was so creative. I'd never done anything like it. The 2 hours flew by and it was just so much more engaging than like watching videos, as your lecture. I totally understand why that was done the way it was done. And I know for economics and even philosophy, there are potentially some constraints, which mean that format wouldn't work. But for me, I found that incredibly engaging. And it wasn't the time at all. Like, as I said, the 2 hours we did in that session, which was the only session of the week, was so much easier to get through because everyone was a lot more engaged. So that was something that I think if more of our seminar leaders knew about that structure, it was presented as like an option would be a really good alternative, and I think it would work well for philosophy.
Yeah, I think especially if the reading material's really difficult, you'll just find that people won't turn up to the seminars, and then it means that sometimes you can't even have a proper discussion about things, or maybe you might feel nervous to voice how you feel about, you know, not understanding something. And that kind of makes things worse. Yeah, and I think like participation in seminars depends upon the people that are there, and if fewer people are there, then the discussion isn't going to be as good, I think, anyway.
Yeah, I bet. I guess when no one has their camera or microphone on also, it kind of just makes things feel a lot more awkward, I guess, in Zoom calls and Teams. Was there anything like that the lecturers, the conveners did to like support like blended learning, or to encourage people to be like online, to get out of bed and onto Zoom, or like just even like make studying from your bedroom easier?
I think that there were definitely things that were tried, but there was an uptake from students. So for example, sometimes in like the Teams channel, the lecturer would say at the start, you can put in like pictures of animals if you're feeling low, or like to support each other or something. I don't think anyone really did it, but it was nice to like see that they tried a bit.
Yeah, I bet. Obviously it's been a difficult year for everyone, but how do you think like your mental health is impacted by just online learning?
I was looking at a screen for like crazy amounts of times per day, and I think that like regardless of what people say, like that must do something to you. Like, I'm sure there'll be studies in the future where it's like, these uni kids were like, put through things. And, you know, definitely, like, that's got to have an impact. I just remember feeling really tired all the time because of, you know, you're looking at an artificial light, and you're not really going outside as much, even if it's like walking to different lecture halls or whatever, you're not doing that. You're not getting the same kind of personal contact with people. It's been very, very difficult. Yeah,
I'd definitely like to echo that. It kind of goes back into what I was saying about that blurred line between work and play. Just going from looking at various different size screens all day definitely was exhausting, and I personally, this is just me, I don't know how many other people would have experienced this, but I suffer from like a very slight form of, this isn't like something that's diagnosed, I just sometimes get these like health anxieties. So I started feeling very anxious that my eyes, like feeling strain in my eyes, feeling light sensitivity, and I'm sure like some element of that was psychological, and some was actually like the effect of sitting at a screen all day, but it just made me feel very stressed, and I wasn't really sure how to alleviate that, because I just had to do the work all the time.
I think just to add, like, even if you raise something about mental health, it's like, get these help resources which are also online, and then you're reading through so much information which is online, and it's just like a lot of words. I mean, it's like a lot of words on a page, basically. And if you're already feeling overwhelmed, then it's just, you know, it can be a bit much.
Yeah, I bet. No, you both mentioned like a lot of screen time wasn't like very actively helping you. Was it hard there to get like the separation then between like, this is me doing uni work, and then this is me relaxing, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. I personally have ADHD. Yeah. And for me, how that manifests is you get stuck in these loops of hyper-focus. So I can be hyper-focused on work, but that also flips into hyper-focus on like scrolling or whatever. And the fact that I can't, one of the ways that I usually mitigate that is just by putting my screens away, working with pen and paper. But obviously that wasn't really possible this year because all the resources were online. And there was no real way to get them otherwise.
Did you feel like you got any support?
There was support from university. So I got some extra time, like I got rest breaks for my exams, and they also put a note on my file that basically said, like, if this person asks for an extension, please give them one. And while that was helpful, it's sort of the things that lead up to assessments are also really crucial for me. And there's no real getting out of the fact that you have to spend huge amounts of time in the same place doing the same thing. Another way, personally, I alleviate those sort of loops and cycles you can get into is by literally just moving. So going from the library to the learning grid to a random classroom and having those confinements, not really being able to go to diverse working spaces, made it quite difficult to break out of those hyper-focus loops for me personally. Mm-hmm.
The conversation between Shree and Alexandra will be continued in part 2, alongside the rest of the episodes in our series discussing blended and online learning at the University of Warwick. But until then, thank you for listening to the Listening at Warwick podcast, and we will see you next time.